for the last song anymore. I was not prepared for that. I love you, Lewis. Let's see. I've got a couple of things to let everybody know or to remind you of. This weekend is Meet the Preacher Day, and it's not for you guys, because you guys already know it. But you have to be here, because I cannot meet everybody in the town and keep them entertained for 3 hours by myself. So this Saturday at 12, be here. We'll have a bouncy house for all you kids and an inflatable obstacle course for the elderly. Huh? Yeah. And we'll have burgers and hot dogs, and I think I will give a speech some sort to say who I am. And Lewis wants to sing. Hopefully he doesn't spring it on us. So we might have a singing too. But it'll be a lot of fun, and what it basically is to let everybody know in the community who we are. It's a good opportunity. We have a good reason to do that since we have a new person behind the pulpit. We have an excuse. So we want to do that. Also, kind of in tandem with that, we're having our website go live this week sometime. So our website is, if you grab a business card, most of the information is on there at the back of the, what is it called, in the foyer? The business card, it's farmvillechurch.com anyway. And I've been working to have something posted on our Facebook site every day. So like us on Facebook and invite your friends to like us on Facebook. And the more souls that we have come in contact with, the better chance we have of inspiring some soul to follow Christ and expanding the kingdom of God. So there's a lot of excitement going on this week. The cards. I think Jack mentioned we sent out a whole lot of postcards, but there's a lot left on the back in the foyer. If you want to pass those out to friends as well, we want to encourage you to do that, to get them in here and to see what we're all about. Anyway, we better start our sermon or we'll run out of time. I want to let you guys know, yesterday I spent some time picking apples with my family. We had a lot of fun. We went actually with the Strohsniders. I don't know if you guys remember them. Kevin and Rebecca and their kids, Carolyn and Andrew. And we had a lot of fun down there picking apples in Charlottesville, Carter's Mountain. But before we left, we had to make a stop at Walmart, and I had to run in and grab a few things. And Trisha just dropped me off at the front door, and I ran in, and I got past the first set of doors, and I got past the second set of doors, and I heard this honking. She was still sitting out there by the front door, and so I ran back out to see what was going on. We have this car. We're still getting used to it. It's real fancy, I guess. You can get in with the key on your person, in your pocket or in your purse somewhere, as long as it's somewhere in the vehicle, and you can start the engine just by pushing a button. But the key has to stay with the vehicle. And we got in the van yesterday morning to go, and Trisha assumed she had it in her purse, but it was actually in my pocket. And when I ran into Walmart, she realized, oh, I need the key. So I had to run back out and give her the key. And we made it to Charlottesville. We had a good time. And, we were back and forth from the car getting diapers and stuff for kids. And so I ended up with the keys again. Then we got in the car to leave, and there was so much traffic coming into the place and going down out of the place. And, you know, just a two-lane road and stop-and-go traffic. Trisha and I noticed a pedestrian trail that looked like it went down the mountain. She said, why don't you get out with the kids, Strider and Journey, and run down the mountain and meet us down there at the bottom. I said, yeah. I was really excited because Trisha doesn't give me the opportunity to be spontaneous very often. I'm sorry. That was not a negative comment. She is my keel that keeps me even. Anyway, so I jump out of the car with the kids, and we start running across the street. And she says, wait, I need the key. So she is almost stuck, you know, in traffic. It's dangerous to be in that situation where she was. And So I was glad to, step back across the road and give her the key. And believe it or not, before we left town, we stopped at a service station to get a couple drinks. And I ran in and forgot the key again. So it takes a lot of reminding for some people. It takes a lot of group effort to keep a family safe and together. It's good to have someone in your life that can remind you about the important things or warn you about dangerous situations. Sometimes we need people in our life to keep us on track. It helps to have more than one person around who has an idea about what's going on. Someone who can give us guidance, someone who can comfort us and sympathize with us, and someone who can correct our behavior over and over again if need be. I think sometimes as Christians, we try to do everything on our own. Sometimes we feel we could grow as a church much, much faster and smoother if everyone would just think like I think, if everyone would just do like I do. So we have one Christian in one corner whose idea is, you know, I have everything right. Everybody should side with me. And he, you know, he's going to tell everybody his plans, and everybody is going to know that he's right because he's going to let them know he's right. And then in another corner, in the opposite corner, we have somebody who is standing there and not speaking out when she knows the truth. She knows that she should speak up, but she's afraid of hurting somebody's feelings. And when we think about those two poles, those two opposites, we need to consider, where is the happy medium? Where should we be standing? I think it is important for ourselves to give ourselves wholly to Christ individually, because we will be judged individually. So we always need to be reflecting on our own behavior. And as Christians, we always try to bring glory to God in everything we do. Our primary attitude as a Christian is worshipful. Our primary growth is in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And our primary goal is conforming our will with the will of God. It's a difficult task. God's will, the will that led Christ to the cross. God's will that loved us enough to suffer the shame and pain and punishment that we deserved. And as we grow in the knowledge of God's grace and love, as we take these steps towards conforming to God's will, we begin to understand that our primary goal compels us to love our brothers and sisters. It compels us to love as Christ loved, loving our brothers and sisters and even our enemies. And we're even loving when it hurts. Living like Christ does hurts because there's sin in the world, and there's sin in the hearts of those around us, and because there's sin in our own hearts sometimes. And that sin says, my will is more important than God's. But we strive. We must live like Christ does, according to God's will. And as we consider God's will while we're living our lives here on this earth, we may begin to wonder about our primary functions as members of His church. Where is the happy medium? We can't be individuals in the church. We are a community. What should our primary works of service be? What is the primary ministry of the church? As we seek to conform to God's will and live like Christ, the church, we can see, is perfectly designed environment for that. God designed it perfectly. We don't always accomplish it perfectly, but it is designed perfectly for us to grow as Christians. Christians are a group of people concerned with gaining knowledge, concerned with conforming to God's will and loving the way that Christ loved. The local church's ministry helps individual Christians grow closer to God and His will through ministry. When we consider the local church and its work in this world as it pertains to helping the individual Christian grow closer to God's will, we can divide the ministry of the church into three different functions: edification, benevolence, and evangelism. I don't like those words. You know why? Because they're too big. I like to have words with two syllables max, especially when I have to talk about them, and especially when I have to try to incorporate them into my own life. So I thought of three different words. Edification, we want to have a good build. Benevolence, we want to have goodwill. And evangelism, we want to have a good spill. Spill out the gospel from our hearts. So I was planning on starting a new series on evangelism today. And I was going to touch on the good build and the goodwill this morning and focus in on the good spill. But by the time I finished studying about the good build, I had a sermon. And I figured nobody would want to sit around and stay for a whole hour and listen to a sermon on these three topics. So I narrowed it down to the good build. So today we're going to talk about edification. Edification is a word that comes from the word edifice. An edifice is a building. Edification also can be broken down to edify, which means to build up. So edification is the work of building up. The first service that we're going to talk about in the next 3 weeks of the church is buildification. It's a good build. The practice, yeah, that's a big word. It's the practice of a good build, the building up of the saints. The church functions to build up the saints. Turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Paul says, "And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ." God gave fellow members of the church to build up the church, preparing them for the ministry of building up the church. You may notice Paul mentions several positions, and they're not president or policeman or parent. The positions are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. One thing these men have in common is that they have a message to deliver. A message to deliver to the saints. And that message equips the saints for ministry and builds the body of Christ. And it's not just these three roles, not these three roles, the apostles, pastors, teachers. It's not just those roles, that are active in building. Turn to Romans 14. Romans 14, 19. "So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble." Paul says, let us, as Christians, work together to build one another. And we build by what we do as well as by what we say to one another. When we act and speak, we must act and speak according to the truth. In order to have a good build, the truth must be spoken. Before the scripture was completed by the appointed men of the early church, this message was delivered from the Spirit to the men, and the men delivered the message to the church. Those miraculous gifts of tongues and prophecy. And now today we have the scripture. And some of you might say, why don't we just leave the job of message delivery to the scripture? Just pass out Bibles and let the word do the work on its own. But Paul here says, let us pursue. Let us pursue. He's speaking to Christians in the church. He's speaking to us. Let's continue to consider our responsibility in the church. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14 again. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14 speaks a lot about the spiritual gifts of tongues and prophecies. Verse 3, Paul says, "But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the whole church may receive edifying." Paul here is insisting that prophecy is a greater gift because it builds up the church because it is spoken understandably and is understood by the church. Those who prophesy are building and urging and comforting. They're speaking these words in order to build the church. Look at verse 12. So also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. Paul tells us here that the edification of the church is the purpose of the spiritual gifts being acted out in the church. So Corinthians, because you are zealous, because you're extremely wanting these miraculous spiritual gifts, use them for their purpose. Their purpose to build the church. Use what you have been given as a guide to build up the church. If you turn back one chapter, chapter 13, 1 Corinthians, verses 8 through 10. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. So now that we are now that the time for these miraculous spiritual gifts has passed, I don't think we should feel disappointed about it. We shouldn't feel like we've missed out on anything. We have that which is perfect. We have that which is complete. It's a better word. We have that scripture, the complete scripture, the full will of God in our Bibles. What was the purpose of the miraculous gifts in the church? To build. To participate in the good build. The message of those teachers came directly from the Spirit in a miraculous way. What should we expect the scriptures to be useful for these days? To build. To build. The message comes directly from the Spirit in the scripture for us to build one another in the church today. We as Christians today should still speak to abound in what has been given to us for the building of the church. And we still use the truth we are given by God, the truth that we find in the Bible, in the scripture. And we build one another up with the truth. Use what you have been given as a guide to build up the church and do it in love. Because love never fails. Love builds. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Whoops. We just turned there. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 this time. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. We do gain knowledge. We gain knowledge of the truth from the Scripture. But it's not simply the delivery of the truth. It is not Scripture alone that builds up our brothers and sisters. It is love for our brothers and sisters coupled with the delivery of the truth. That's what builds up. It's not just the Scripture alone. It's Scripture and the message delivered in love that works to build the church. 1 Corinthians 13:2 tells us, if I have prophetic powers, like the ones found in the church, in the early church, if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to move mountains but not love, I am nothing. I'm nothing. I'm useless. I can't work to build the church if I don't love my brothers and sisters as I am delivering the message of truth. In our building up of one another, we must build with love. We must urge one another on with love and comfort one another with love. One of the church's primary ministries is to build one another, not because we feel pressured to or obligated to. We, the church, must seek to build one another with the word, teaching, comforting, correcting, guided by the scripture because we love. Because we love, we are compelled by love. We must speak the truth and love. That brings us back to Ephesians 4 again, where we started. Ephesians 4, verse 11. I'm going to read through 16 this time. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Each individual part supplies. That's you and I. As part of the body of Christ, we supply the message, the truth, in love. As we have our individual attitude and study and our own individual goals, we also have a responsibility to build and to be built by the church. And we individual Christians, by speaking the truth in love, we, the body of Christ, build and are built in love. Yes, we build with humble, loving hearts, and we must also be ready to be built by our brothers and sisters. We may need the truth spoken to us from time to time for comfort and for encouragement and for teaching. And we must be ready to accept the truth in love from time to time for correction. It makes sense that we must speak the truth in love to one another. It is part of the ministry. It's part of our ministry as the church, as we purposefully speak to one another to build one another up. And as we are spoken to, we can look to the truth of the scriptures. We can remember relationships in the Bible, like the relationship Paul and Timothy had in 2 Timothy that John read for us this morning. 2 Timothy 3. I'm going to read it again. I'm going to start in verse 10. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings. Verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You see, Timothy was built up in his childhood here by his mother and his grandmother, and Paul built up Timothy by teaching the truth in love. And Timothy learned that all Scripture builds up all Christians. All Scripture is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training through a vehicle, the vehicle of a teacher, the vehicle of a fellow Christian. I think many times, as a church, when we gather together, we fail to be purposeful in our conversations. Maybe we feel we do not speak the truth when it's needed. And so our brother runs off with the keys and leaves us stranded. And it hurts us, and it hurts our brother, and it hurts the church when we don't speak the truth in love. And sometimes we don't open up to our fellow brothers for fear of the truth, and we continue in our secret sins, and they grow like a cancer, and they spread through the body. But the design of the church's ministry, is to participate in the good build, which requires us to speak the truth in love, and to be willing to hear the truth in love, which means we need to be open and honest with one another. We need to find some Christian that we can be vulnerable with, or we won't grow. We will be hampered in our growth. We will be stunted in our growth. This week I encourage you to speak the truth to a loved one. Speak the truth in love to a fellow Christian in order to build them up. See, our purpose when we speak to one another is not to share the vast knowledge that we have in our brains. It's not to tear somebody down. When we speak the truth in love, it's to build one another up. If we're trying to speak to one another for another purpose, we need to get that right. If we're trying to speak to a fellow brother or sister in Christ, we need to know that when we correct, when we teach, when we comfort and encourage, we need to be sure that we're doing it to encourage growth, to build up the church, to be participants in the good build. If anyone, you know, this is the reason that we have the invitation, so that we can gather around one another. We offer an invitation weekly, not solely for sinners to come and be a part of Christ. We also offer the invitation for fellow brothers and sisters who need the good build, who need edified, to be edified. They need to be built up and encouraged. They need to be guided. Sometimes they need to be corrected. But when we offer the invitation, know that it's not just for some sinful visitor that we invited to church today. That's not the primary purpose of us meeting here today. That's evangelism. We'll get to that in a couple weeks. We all take part in that outside the church. We take part of it here too. But here, when we're together, we offer an invitation for Christians as well to be built up, to feel the compassion and love of the church. If anyone here today has a need, if you feel that you've stumbled and that you've not been acting towards your brothers and sisters in a way that would build them up, if you feel like you could do more to build up the church and you've not been taking advantage of what God has given you through the truth, through Scripture and your abilities, the things God's blessed you with, and you feel like you want the prayers and encouragement of the church. Of course, if you feel that you want to become a part of this body that works to build one another up and not to tear one another down, if you feel that you're ready to lay down your life, your sinful life, and give it to God and put on Christ in baptism, this is also an opportunity for you to come. I pray that you would come as we stand and sing.
In your way, oh, will you not tell of your kindness today? Oh, will you not tell it today? Will you not tell it today? Oh, will you not tell it today? Strength you have found in the strength of your Lord, and this hope of a rest in this palace is sweet. Oh, will you not, brother, the story repeat? Oh, will you not tell it today? Will you not tell it today? If the light of his presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell it today? If the souls all around you are living in sin, if the master has told you to bid them come in, if the sweet invitation they never have heard, oh, will you not tell them the cheer-bringing word? Oh, right in your way.